Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Breaking news.
Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. Very glad that you are here with us today. Some special coverage as the Senate impeachment trial is set to begin shortly. The trial is set to formally start at noon, but we understand there might be some discussion over the rules of the impeachment process, how it's going to go on. We've heard this morning from Adam Schiff, among the other House managers that are presenting the House's case here for the impeachment of the President of the United States. Very grateful that you were with us here on 97.1 FM Talk. We are going to have this special coverage throughout the day. We are going to take you live to it when it happens. And we ask that you stick with us. Ryan Wiggins in here with me right now. Also, Katie Fitzpatrick, as usual, the Annie Fry Show, normally starting at noon, but today here an hour early for this important historical occasion.
Here we go. It's going to be another marathon here in the Senate. We don't know exactly how long this will take yet, although the House, it's not just Pelosi. The House is still trying to control what the Senate does. Adam Schiff is on record now as saying that this could be a quote-unquote rigged impeachment trial for President Trump. So
I think that's something that everybody can agree on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we can.
And we're done. Scene. Thanks for listening in back to the Kill Me Channel.
But keep listening for the words cover-up, too. I don't know if you've noticed, but that seems to be a Democratic talking point. They're using a whole lot.
Dismissal is cover-up.
Yes.
Cover-up. Cover-up. Cover-up.
I kept listening for it in the sound bites, and I think I heard it at least twice, once at least from Jerry Nadler. So that's what the House is doing. We'll see if the Senate continues to use the same language or what Schumer is going to do here.
Absolutely interesting to listen to those poll-tested words.
I
can only imagine what is it that riles up the Nancy Pelosi side of the aisle right now, because the impeachment is out of the House's hands. And if you listen to Nancy Pelosi, you understand that impeachment is forever. Here's Pelosi earlier.
December 18th, the House of Representatives impeached the President of the United States. An impeachment that will last forever.
Forever. That is important. They need you to know, as a voter, that the President has been impeached. And you know what? He has been impeached. That is a historical event that Nancy Pelosi and the majority, the Democrats in the House, were able to, I will say, accomplish in the process of the 3 years, 3.5 years that the president has been, I think it's 3 years, almost to the date, actually, that he's been in office. But the march towards impeachment has been taking place a lot longer than just the time that he's been in office.
It's historic, but it's interesting to note that we don't know what history is going to say about this impeachment yet. Because, yes, it's historic in that it's the third time it's ever happened, which is why we're covering it. It's a big deal. But, thank you.
I disagree.
But we don't know if this is the start of something new, if impeachment's going to be not historic from now on because it's going to happen so often. I mean, we just don't know.
Let's discuss that for a second. And Tony and I kind of ended the show yesterday with this same idea, his suggestion that it was going to be happening, that this is going to be the new norm. I don't think it's going to be. I feel as though that the lesson that was learned in the 90s, that the Republicans learned when they went through something that looks pretty similar to this, you have a means to an end. You want Bill Clinton out of office. He's everything you think a president shouldn't be. He's philandering in the Oval Office. He's not a good moral leader for the country. He's somebody who the other side despises, gets to get away with what he gets to get away with. So you look for a crime. Was I just talking about Bill Clinton or Donald Trump?
Good question.
You know, and it's interesting also to compare the two and to understand the difference between what Bill Clinton did in office and what President Trump did as a citizen, as a civilian, that voters knew about and accepted and still chose to put him in the Oval Office. So I believe, maybe it's because I want to believe this, I don't think this is going to go well for Democrats in the end. That is, to me, what will determine what we do to the next president that one side doesn't like. Do you think it's going to be the new norm?
I tend to agree with you. However, I think we still have to wait and see. If this goes really well for Democrats, like if they're able to take the presidency on the heels of this thing, because the public just kind of really turns on this Senate trial and man, it goes poorly for President Trump, I think you could see it become the new normal. If Trump wins again, it'll be another generation before we see it. Or 25 years. Maybe not a generation, but as long as it has been between the last one and this one.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. Wouldn't it be quite a turning of the tides, though, for if the president is removed from office? I have not heard anybody say, nobody has indicated, here's the point A to point B where this impeachment successfully removes the president from the office. Not that he doesn't get voted in November. I haven't heard anybody make the case. Everybody's punditry around this scenario involves what happens after this Senate trial gets over. How long does the Senate trial take? Well, the length of the Senate trial has never been indicated to me that it is going to change the outcome of the trial. Everybody Right. seems to be pretty convinced this is about bruising and battering the president so that in November he's damaged goods.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's similar to Kavanaugh in that they just wanted to keep throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at him, hoping that anything might sway a couple senators to change their minds. But so far, that hasn't been the case. I think that's one of the reasons they keep wanting witnesses. It gives them Dirt. just another week. Maybe there's something else that we can find that'll sway this thing, that we can grab a few senators and pull them to our side. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
So we are going to take you directly to the coverage of the Senate impeachment trial. And we expect it to happen soon, that they will have a battle of sorts over the rules that will be put into play. And these rules, the way they're set, you have a majority. And the majority gets to have a greater say in how this is carried out, much like the House of Representatives had a majority. And they, oh my goodness, did they use that to their advantage. Now the shoe's on the other foot. And to listen to a lot of the Democrats speaking today, they are very adamant about not allowing Republicans to do exactly what Ryan was just saying and cover up.
To be debating whether you should have the evidence admitted, to be debating whether you should allow witnesses, is to be debating whether you should have a cover up by definition. There's no other way to look at it.
The purpose of the House of Representatives in the process of an impeachment, the purpose is to make the case, to collect the evidence. A lot of people have suggested it's like a grand jury. And then they take the information that's presented and they make a decision. Should we make this charge on Donald Trump or should we not? They've had this process. They hurried it through so much. Do you remember the Republicans? Do you remember Devin Nunes? Do you remember Doug Collins? Saying, we want a minority hearing. We want to call people. We want it one day. Just give us one day. And they cite like rule 5C3F2.43CPO. I don't know what it is. And they go and they say, we want this minority hearing. We want to call our people in. We want one day. They didn't get a day. Why didn't they get a day? If you wanted to do this House impeachment hearing in a way that was all-encompassing, that looked in every nook and cranny, because your ultimate goal was to access the truth, there would have been a minority hearing. What do you have to fear by holding a minority hearing? Well, I think we can all answer that question. They didn't do the full thing in the House. They wanted to get it done. They wanted to get it done quickly. I think it was important that they got it done and got him impeached before Christmas. Because remember, 4 weeks that Nancy Pelosi holds these articles of impeachment. They drew it out then. So you want to hurry it through the House, but then you want to leave, you want to let it linger for 4 weeks while the American people celebrate their holiday. You have to wait until the news cycle is successfully attainable back in your hands. Mm-hmm. We see you. We know what you're doing here. I respect you for trying to play the best political game you possibly can, but to play that game and the Republicans and Mitch McConnell having the majority in the Senate are absolutely going to go toe-to-toe in the political game that is taking place in Washington, D.C. right now. Here's Adam Schiff from earlier today.
Last night, we received for the first time the text of the McConnell resolution that will govern the trial. And we could see why this resolution was kept from us and from the American people. This is nothing like the process that was used in the Clinton trial. To begin with, and this is, I think, most indicative, in the Clinton trial, both Senate leadership worked out a bipartisan proposal for how the trial would be conducted. That obviously has not happened here. Senator McConnell did not consult at all with Senator Schumer on the contents of this text. I would imagine that Senator Schumer only got to see it probably at around the same time that we did in the House. And the reason this was kept hidden is that it does not prescribe a process for a fair trial. And the American people desperately want to believe that the Senate will give both the President and the House of Representatives a fair trial. This resembles nothing like the Clinton proceeding.
This resembles nothing like the Clinton proceeding. And then you'll see a Republican walk up to a podium and say, we're doing this exactly like the Clinton proceeding. So who do you believe? I guess just whomever you choose to. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will bring you directly to the live coverage of the Senate impeachment trial of the President of the United States as soon as it happens. You are in the right place right here at 97.1 FM Talk, and you can stream us live at radio.com. Download the app. You can watch us on our webcam, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, on 97.1.
Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk. Annie Fry here with live coverage of the Senate impeachment trial. It is set to begin in 20 minutes from now, and we will take you directly to it as it happens. If you have tuned in to get the impeachment coverage, you are in the correct place. I want to encourage you to make sure that you can take us along with you wherever you go, because today is going to be must-hear radio. You are going to want to hear everything as it happens. We're going to have it for you. We're going to have feedback. We're going to take the opportunity to get some of your thoughts and opinions on here as they take breaks in the Senate. And as it starts at 11:45, you're not going to miss anything. We're going to have it for you right here. And we're grateful that you trust us to deliver you that information. I've got Ryan Wiggins and Katie Fitzpatrick in here. The traditional Annie Fry Show starting an hour earlier to make sure that we give you the live coverage of the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump as it heads to the Senate. Ryan, what can you tell us about the layout of what we can expect today here starting in about 20 minutes?
Yeah, so today and tomorrow, it'll be pretty similar, actually. We're talking about opening statements that are going to be starting here soon. In the impeachment of Bill Clinton, you had 24 hours given to opening statements. And that's not necessarily 24 hours like here's a day. It's 24 actual hours that people can talk.
A composite of 24 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was spread over 4 days in the impeachment of Bill Clinton. In the impeachment of Trump, it will be spread over just 2 days. So we're talking about probably 12-hour days starting here really soon of people doing a lot of what you've already seen, which is posturing, giving their case, telling you why this is a sham or why this is going to be a cover-up or why everybody's wrong, mm-hmm. basically, for 2 days.
Woo!
Yeah.
Buckle up. So in the meantime, President Trump is in Davos doing the business of the American people and trying to talk about America and position America even better with the nation watching.
We've regained our stride, rediscovered our spirit, and reawakened the powerful machinery of American enterprise. America is thriving. America is flourishing. And yes, America is winning again like never before.
So that's the president in Davos. And then interesting article right now on Fox News. We know that the Democrats are after the president here stateside. Here's a Fox News headline. This is from earlier this morning. Iranian lawmaker announces a $3 million cash reward for whoever kills Trump.
Wow.
Right?
No kidding.
An Iranian lawmaker apparently has placed a $3 million bounty on President Trump's head. He made the declaration Tuesday during a speech to Parliament in Tehran, although it's unclear whether it has any backing from Iran's top leaders. Well, yeah, but it's out there.
That's the way Iran always operates, is they do something and somebody does it outside of the government, but the government's going, yeah, that wasn't us, or maybe it was. It just depends on the day.
On behalf of the people of Kerman province, we will pay a $3 million reward in cash to whoever kills Trump, Hamza was quoted as saying. Just put yourself in the shoes of Donald Trump right now, sitting in Davos, trying to do what he does best, which is work deals, business. In the United States, they're impeaching him, and he's fighting for peace, I guess, in the Middle East. Rockets, missiles hit near the embassy in Baghdad last night, I guess it was. Who's leading this country right now? I mean, it's Trump. From where I sit, it's Trump. But just for a second, we have a comment on our Facebook Live right now, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. We are going to be able to watch the coverage here. You're going to be able to comment along with us when we go to the coverage in about 15 minutes when they begin this trial. And Victor says, is it me or is it crazy to impeach a president in an election year? If you think about the destability that would exist in the event that, let's say, in 6 weeks they did remove the president of the United States, what happens next? What's the plan? Have you even thought that far? I don't know. I don't know what the intention is. I don't know what the understanding of the Democrats is to do something like this in an election year. But Kellyanne Conway was just commenting on that.
We know the president will not be removed from office and he will be reelected.
If you are watching this and only considering the political ramifications of this, I think it's important to just pay attention to the global ramifications of this sort of effort towards the president. If the president did exactly what the Democrats are accusing him at the absolute worst, should the people have their say in November, or should the Democrats in the House have their say for everybody in January and in February of 2020?
Yeah, the problem is that impeachment now, as we're all witnessing in live in real time, has become so diluted that for the most part, the American people are not necessarily going to be moved one way or another by anything that happens now.
Everyone's got a side. It appears as though they're starting to react here, so we can go live.
Yep, they're starting with a prayer right now, and then they're going to be making the battle over the rules here in just a second, so we can go live.
So let's make sure that you can listen to us at radio.com, download the app, get on 97.1 FM Talk on radio.com, take us with you wherever you go. You can also stream us live at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, and we will be watching and commenting along with you there. Let's go to the live coverage of the Senate impeachment trial.
Are our hope. We pray in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Happy Impeachment Day. Is this a happy affair? It's finally here, and we have had an hour so far of special coverage bringing you to somewhat opening statements, I suppose it was. Mitch McConnell went first, Chuck Schumer followed, and as much of what you would expect, Mitch McConnell drawing a very, very hard line, saying the Senate's fair process will draw a sharp contrast with the unfair and precedent-breaking inquiry that was carried on by the House of Representatives. I'm always strangely forgetful about how tough as nails Mitch McConnell is. He is misleading in stature, but the man is as tough as it gets. Chuck Schumer going afterwards and being very, very aggressive in the rhetoric of how demonstrative he implores the Senate to be on conducting a fair trial. And we continue to hear that phrase cover up, suggesting that unless Senate Republicans abide exactly by what the Democrats are demanding the Senate. And I would encourage you to take note of how much the House of Representative Democrats are making demands of the Senate, which is led by Republicans. How laughable that is, because the whole purpose of a bicameral Congress is to make sure that you have two separate houses that have separate powers. So for the House, to Republican or Democrat, to puff out their chest and act as though they are going to dictate to the Senate what they will and will not be doing, there is nothing that these Congress people like to do more than to define exactly what their power is and exactly what others' power isn't. And I will remind you also, and you know this because you're here with us on 97.1 FM Talk, that the executive branch is a separate but equal branch of government, and the privileges that go into executive power, among other things, do exist. They are not to be withheld and overrun by a separate but equal branch of government. They are to be in check, but they are not to be controlled by it. I got Ryan Wiggins in here, Katie Fitzpatrick, and we are dancing in and out of this special coverage of the impeachment trial that has now entered the Senate for President Donald Trump. And we have all the live coverage for you. They're on a break right now. Ted Cruz adjourned us from Chuck Schumer's comments that came after Mitch McConnell's comments. And we are just waiting for them to reconvene. And we don't know when that is, so we're very grateful that you're here with us today.
Piggybacking on your Facebook Live poll, will this last over 2 weeks? Will this last under 2 weeks? I would have to say what we know right now from what we've seen from McConnell, like you were saying, Annie, is that he's playing this very tough. He's checking all the boxes. So he's doing this politically.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, yes, we're going to go about this the way that we should, but he's doing it really fast. So these opening statements are actually going to be about half the time that they were during Bill Clinton's. And therefore, my guess is that we will see a shorter trial overall.
All right. So are you taking the under? The 2 week,
2 weeks,
2 week mark under?
Yes. Right now. Just based on
what
Mitch McConnell's
just
doing.
Go.
Yeah. I'll say it. Sure.
So we are waiting for them to reconvene. They, according to CNN, what they're reporting right now is that they'll be debating the impeachment trial rules. We were listening to a little bit of coverage on Fox News there over the commercial break, and everybody agrees this is about to get nasty.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to get really nasty. We are going to have that live coverage for you here on the Annie Fry Show today. The Dave Glover Show will take over at 3, and they will measure it, and they will see what the day is doing, and they will handle it certainly the way they see fit at that time. Maybe we'll bring Dave in, if depending on the time schedule that we go through today, and see how he intends to cover this. But it's a big day. This is a very important day in American history. And as we discussed earlier, we don't know what history is going to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are living it right now, and we will have to wait and see. And as we wait and see, there's a huge question that exists. It's the question. Regardless of what the president did or didn't do, whatever the truth is, and we're never going to know all of the truth. We're going to know the truth as his defense team presents it, and as the prosecution and the House managers, as they present it. We are a court of public opinion, literally.
Mm-hmm.
We get to decide in November, assuming they don't remove the president from office, which I have yet to hear anybody suggest is even a possibility that that would happen.
Yeah.
If the president is guilty of what these Democrats are accusing him of, in your mind right now, as you're sitting and taking this in with disgust or with excitement, whatever your feeling or emotion is, what would he be removed from office for doing? What is the crime, the misdemeanor, the high crime? What is the infraction that Donald Trump did that is worthy of his removal from office before you get to say it in November? If you think he does not deserve to stay there, I think he's mishandled things, I think he should be out of office in November, what is that thing? Can you describe it to me? And if somebody challenges you and says, Donald Trump absolutely deserves to be impeached, ask them to explain to you what that thing is. There was a video that was put out by Brandon Strzok from the walk away thing. He was at the Women's March that took place. The Women's March took place this weekend. There was the March for Life that took place this weekend. The biggest pro-life event is massive. Nobody ever covers it.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah, I know. And then the Virginia gun rally taking place. Lots of different things happening. And Brandon Strzok was at that Women's March. And he's talking to this one woman and asking her about, she points at this wall that's around the White House. She's like, see that wall right there? That wall is to keep women out. And he plays it straight the whole time. He's asking her like, oh, why do you think that is? What is your problem with the way the president treats women? Asking for examples? She cannot give any. And he's like, he says to her, he absolutely deserves to be impeached for that, doesn't he? And she's like, yes, absolutely. And he's like, can you tell me what he did? Her reasoning, the only thing that she could define about how the president treats women, because they were at the Women's March, she went all the way back to the inauguration and said something about how when Donald Trump got out of the car, he left Melania back to fend for herself. And I'm like, you're a feminist.
Wow, that's it, eh?
You're a feminist. And you're talking about how a man walked apart from a woman and then she had no man there to help her fend. She should be able to fend for herself. But this is what people think the president has done to be worthy of impeachment. You have to separate the difference between a high crime and a misdemeanor from your distaste for him. That has to be separate. And if somebody can't give to you an explanation as to why he deserves to be removed from office, not because of your vote and your voice, but because of some political hoax, if the president is correct in the way he describes it, then we're doing this all wrong. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to bring you right back as soon. Are we going directly to it?
We are going right back in.
Mm-hmm. So it appears as though they are reconvening here. We are going to be touch and go. We are going to have this live coverage for you. And we need you to stick with us. 97.1 FM Talk. If you are listening to us right now in your lunch break, keep your radio on 97.1. If you have to go back to your desk, download the radio.com app. You can stream us live there. Favorite 97.1 on that app. You can subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcast. And you can also watch us right now and comment along at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Let's listen back into the Senate impeachment trial taking place right now.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Breaking news.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show with live coverage right here on 97.1 FM Talk of the Senate impeachment trial as it has been carried out. So far, we have heard from Adam Schiff. We have heard from Mitch McConnell. We have heard from Jay Sekulow. We've heard from the attorney Cipollone in defense of this president. Adam Schiff, of course, leading the House managers, leading the case. He's making the case for the impeachment that the House passed. I saw somebody commenting online, why is Adam Schiff talking? This is the Senate. Is he in the Senate? Well, he's in the Senate building. He's in front of the Senate right now. And it is his job to present the case that passed the House on these two articles of impeachment. Let's listen in here.
And unless this trial is going to be different from every other impeachment trial or any other kind of trial for that matter, you must allow the prosecution and defense, the House manager and the president's lawyers, to call relevant witnesses. You must subpoena documents that the president has blocked, but which bear on his guilt or innocence. You must impartially do justice as your oath requires. So what does a fair trial look like in the context of impeachment? The short answer is it looks like every other trial.
So Adam Schiff there making the case for the House managers. We'll get you some sound shortly from Jay Sekulow and Cipollone, who have spoken as well. But Jim Jordan was, during this trial, he was weighing in on this issue, and he basically boils it down to this.
And again, these four facts, Brett, the idea that we have the transcript, there was no quid pro quo in the transcript. The two individuals on the call, President Trump and President Zelensky, have repeatedly said that there was no pushing, no pressure, no linkage between the security assistance dollars and any type of investigation in Ukraine. The Ukrainians didn't even know at the time of the call that aid had been held, and most importantly, they took no action. They never started an investigation. They never promised to start an investigation. They never announced an investigation. They took no action to get the aid released. Those four facts will never change no matter how long Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff talk.
Four facts that remain the same on the Trump defense. Read the transcript. That's what the president has tweeted out from Davos. He has said, read the transcript. They say there's no pressure, according to both Zelensky and Trump. So in the entirety of the accusation from Adam Schiff and the House and the Democrats that voted for this, because, again, it was only Democrats who voted from this, the initial onset was about quid pro quo. That means a this for that. This, suggesting that Donald Trump wanted this and was going to give that in return. Zelensky and Trump, the Ukrainian president and the United States president, both said there was no pressure here on either side. It didn't exist. Ukraine also didn't know that the aid was being withheld. That's the third thing. And the fourth thing is that Ukraine didn't do what the Democrats say the president was demanding, and they still got the aid. It's the worst quid pro quo in American history, maybe in world history. We suck at quid pro quos, and we suck so bad at it, yet the Democrats still look at this as potentially, in my opinion, their only way to try to put themselves in a position to defeat Donald Trump in November. Ryan, what can you tell us about procedurally? We've had some things happen when we took a break here. Just an update on that.
Yeah, so we're supposed to be hearing opening statements today and tomorrow. Apparently that has changed. CNN reporting that McConnell has reversed that and said that he'll allow another day of opening statements. So my assumption is that'll be today, tomorrow, and Thursday. The interesting thing about the people that we're hearing so far and we will continue to hear from is that we will most likely not hear much from the senators themselves. They have actually been forced into a vow of silence for this. As jurors of sorts.
That's a magical thing.
So all those people you're used to hearing speak on the Senate floor, you probably won't, except in a very, very official capacity, like when Chuck Schumer steps to the podium to, you know, make points or offer amendments and things like that. So the people that we're going to continue to hear from are going to be Trump's lawyers like Jay Sekulow that we just heard from, Cipollone. That's one of the reasons we heard from Adam Schiff, because he's not part of the Senate and he is allowed to speak in this capacity. So we're going to hear more of that for the next couple days.
Let's listen to Jay Sekulow here.
Mr. Schiff also talked about a trifecta. I'll give you a trifecta. During the proceedings that took place before the Judiciary Committee, the president was denied the right to cross-examine witnesses. The president was denied the right to access evidence. And the president was denied the right to have counsel present at hearings. That's a trifecta.
That's a trifecta. I like the way he says trifecta. It makes me feel like I'd want him on my defense team. Here's more from Jay.
What are we dealing with here? Why are we here? Are we here because of a phone call? Or are we here before this great body because since the president was sworn into office, there was a desire to see him removed?
Isn't that the truth?
That is such a good question.
Isn't that just the basis
yes.
of the entire thing?
What are we doing again?
Why am I here? What is my purpose? So this entire, the predicate of all of this is that what the president was doing in Ukraine was somehow or another confounded in order to help him win the election in 2020. That's what this is about. The suggestion exists because they thought Donald Trump was trying to steal the election in 2020. I think a lot of this has to do with the Democrats' decision to not accept the election result of 2016. And I would suggest that the Democrats have already put themselves in a position to not accept the results of the 2020 election that hasn't even happened yet, but they're chomping at the bit to try to do something because they don't feel as though they have it in their fingertips, in their grasp, to defeat Donald Trump with the candidates that exist right now. I would suggest that this very impeachment trial, witch hunt, hoax, as it exists right now, might in and of itself be its very own election meddling. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with live coverage as the trial resumes here in just a minute. You're listening to special coverage of the Senate impeachment trial of Donald J. Trump on 97.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Breaking news.
Welcome back to special coverage of the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump. It has begun today, about 2 hours ago. And this is a quick clip from Pat Cipollone, who is one of the lead attorneys on the Trump defense team.
A partisan impeachment is like stealing an election. And that's exactly what we have. We have, talk about the framers' worst nightmare. It's a partisan impeachment that they've delivered to your doorstep in an election year. Some of you are upset because you should be in Iowa right now. But instead, we're here, and they're not ready to go. And it's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Pat Cipollone is speaking there. So we've heard from the Trump defense team. We've heard from Adam Schiff, who has been in large part the voice of the, accusation against the president, the impeachment of the president. We did open up with Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer speaking as well. And right now, Adam Schiff is on the floor and he has the floor for an hour. Don't worry. We're not going to stick that to you for the next hour. We might dip in here in just a second. He was responding to one of the resolutions on the floor. But before we get into that, I want to give you the phone numbers because I want to get your phone calls for the rest of the show today here until 3 o'clock. And then the Glover Show will take over after that at 3. But if you want to weigh in on where you are on this issue, if you heard anything that's changed your mind, if you think anybody's mind is going to be changed by what takes place in the Senate, 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797 or toll free at 866-455-9797. Ryan, so far we've been listening to this since about 11:30-ish. What's happened? What do we know so far?
Well, so far it's been mostly just back and forth. We're doing an hour here, hour there from both sides. We're not hearing a lot of new information. We're hearing a lot of procedural stuff. So the latest news, just to catch you up on that stuff, if you're interested in it, is that Schumer has introduced an amendment that asks the Senate to compel the chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, for Trump, to produce documents about communications Trump had in preparations for the July 25 phone call and the September 25th meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky in New York. So we're going to hear Adam Schiff here speak for a little bit. We're going to hear the response from the Trump legal team, most likely, and then they're going to vote on that amendment. Now, based on what that amendment is, my assumption is that we will get a negative vote on that amendment, but we don't know. That will be an actual news item that will happen today, though.
So I'm going to go to Adam Schiff here and see what his reaction is to what was discussed before we took that break. And then we're going to come back. So this is not going to be a long form Adam Schiff diatribe. We're just going to dip in and see what he has to say. And then I'm going to come to you and I want to get your phone calls. We're streaming live at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. You can also take the podcast or the app at radio.com. And take us with you wherever you go. So download radio.com, favorite 97.1 FM talk, and subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcast there. You can listen to us live there as well. So 314-241-9797. If you're itching to get in here and get something off your chest, we'd love to hear you. Let's dip in, and we'll be right back real quick here. We'll see what Adam Schiff's response is to the Trump defense that was just presented.
Take this opportunity before certain representations became congealed to respond to my colleague's argument on the resolution at large. First, it's worth noting they said nothing about the resolution. They said nothing about the resolution. They made no effort to defend it. They made no effort to even claim that this was like the Senate trial in the Clinton proceeding. They made no argument that, well, this is different here because of this or that, or they made no argument about that whatsoever. They made no argument that it makes sense to try the case and then consider documents. They made no argument about why it makes sense to have a trial without witnesses. And why? Because it's indefensible. It's indefensible. No trial in America has ever been conducted like that. And so you heard nothing about it. And that should be the most telling thing about counsel's argument. They had no defense of the McConnell resolution, because there is none. They couldn't defend it on the basis of Senate precedent. They couldn't defend it on the basis of Senate history, tradition. They couldn't defend it on the basis of the Constitution. They couldn't defend it at all. And so what did they say? Well, first they made the representation that the House is claiming there is no such thing as executive privilege. That's nonsense. No one here has ever suggested there's no such thing as executive privilege. But the interesting thing here is they've never claimed executive privilege. Not once during the House investigation did they ever say that a single document was privileged or a single witness had something privileged to say. And why didn't they invoke privilege? Why only now? And even now they haven't quite invoked it. Why only now? Why not in the House? Because in order to claim privilege, as they know because they're good lawyers, you have to specify which document, which line, which conversation, and they didn't want to do that because to do that, the president would have to reveal the evidence of his guilt. That's why they made no invocation of privilege. Now, they make the further argument that the House should only be able to impeach after they exhaust all legal remedies. As if the Constitution says the House shall have the sole power of impeachment, asterisk, but only after it goes to court, in the district court, then the Court of Appeals, and then en banc, and then the Supreme Court, and it's remanded, and they go back up the chain, and it takes years. Why didn't the founders require the exhaustion of legal remedies? Because they didn't want to put the impeachment process in the courts. And you know what's interesting is that while these lawyers for the president are here before you today saying the House should have gone to court, they're in court saying the House may not go to court to enforce its subpoenas. I kid you not. Other lawyers, maybe not the ones at this table, but other lawyers for the president are in court saying the exact opposite of what they're telling you today. They're saying you cannot enforce congressional subpoenas. That's non-judiciable. You can't do it. Counsel brings up the case involving Charles Kupperman, who was a deputy to John Bolton on the National Security Council, and says he did what he should do. He went to court to fight us. Well, the Justice Department took the position he can't do that. So these lawyers are saying he should, and those lawyers are saying he shouldn't. They can't have it both ways. Now, interestingly, while Mr. Kupperman, Dr. Kupperman, went to court, and they applaud him for doing that, his boss, John Bolton, now says there's no necessity for him to go to court. He doesn't have to do it. He's willing to come and talk to you. He's willing to come and testify and tell you what he knows. The question is, do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear from someone who was in the meetings, someone who described what the president did, this deal between Mulvaney and Sondland as a drug deal? Do you want to know why it was a drug deal? Do you want to ask him why it was a drug deal? Do you want to ask him why he repeatedly told people, go talk to the lawyers? You should want to know. They don't want you to know. They don't want you to know. The president doesn't want you to know. Can you really live up to the oath you've taken to be impartial and not know? I don't think you can.
Adam Schiff speaking from the Senate floor. This Senate impeachment trial commenced at about 11:30 a.m. today, and we've been covering it live right here on the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Very glad that you were with us, streaming live at radio.com, 97.1talk.com/Annie, also facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. And Adam Schiff has the floor for about an hour, and I would rather hear from you than from Adam Schiff, pretty much. That's what it boils down to.
I can't believe anybody takes that guy seriously anymore. After everything that he's done that has been proven false and misleading on purpose, and now he's in the Senate doing the same thing. It's amazing to me.
Optically, I don't think Adam Schiff is I'm talking surface level persuasion here. The ability to have someone tune in and see Adam Schiff for the first time and make a snap judgment on him. He doesn't look like the good guy in the story. Brian shared with the Facebook page, my 92-year-old mother, who doesn't normally say anything about politics, has been watching the impeachment stuff. She stated that Adam Schiff has beady little eyes and looks like a weasel, and California should be penalized for electing someone so stupid. Now, I'll say,
dang!
Your 92-year-old mother don't play. But that is how people will react. Like, whether you think that's, you know, I always criticize the suggestion of attacking people for things they can control instead of going after policy. We can talk for days and days about policy issues and decisions that Adam Schiff has made that I have a real problem with here. But at the same time, you will see people who will judge this entire thing based on a few headlines that sneak their way into their Facebook feeds.
Yep.
What are people, well, let me, I want to get to Ken's call here real quick, and then Ryan's going to give us some reaction from some folks who were paying attention to this, some prominent folks. So if you want to call us, 314-241-9797, let's talk to Ken. Ken, thanks for calling the show.
So thanks for taking my call. The Democrats are asserting this, that Donald Trump tried to subvert an election by having Hunter Biden investigated. Now, in order for this to actually be the case, you'd have to have Joe Biden be the nominee at this point, but Joe Biden is not the nominee. So on its face and its merits, their argument is null and void. You can't not subvert an election if you do not have a nominee. And Joe Biden, to the best of my knowledge today, is not the Democrats' nominee.
Well, Ken, I would say that the story that has been told with what took place in Ukraine, the obvious facts behind Hunter's relationship with Ukraine, the millions of dollars that he has made, has not helped Joe Biden's chance at getting that nomination at all. So I would say that it has potentially affected the Democratic primary, which is a part of the election. But I would also say that just because Joe Biden is associated with Hunter Biden, who was potentially involved in some corruption that the Obama administration was looking into during the Obama administration time in office, if Joe Biden happens to be collateral damage because of that, that's not Donald Trump's fault. And if Joe Biden did anything to set his son up to have access to this type of a sweet gig that he was set up with, that is something the American people deserve to know. So I look at it is an influence potentially on the 2020 election, but that's not Donald Trump's fault. Donald Trump isn't forbidden to look into anybody's past if it's corrupt and has misused the will and dollar of the American taxpayer just because they decide to run for something in the future. So I would say I wouldn't suggest that it's not influencing the 2020 election at all, but I would also say that, in my opinion, that's collateral damage. It wasn't the initial point.
Well, you know, I don't know that you can really make that argument that's influencing the 2020 presidential election as much as you can make the argument is that we are actually investigating corruption, which influenced the 2016 election.
Yeah,
which is what the president's team is asserting as well. Whether it influences the 2020 election or not, you could argue either way on that, I suppose.
Ken, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. If you want to join us, 314-241-9797. We talked about this a little bit before, but just because Donald Trump and his administration was looking into some corruption that was clearly happening. I mean, isn't it interesting that Hunter Biden, like the Hunter Biden story is just ruminating on the back burner right now. It is not off the hot stove at all.
Mm-hmm.
And these other stories keep bubbling up about other potential relationships that Hunter Biden had with companies overseas that were very lucrative for Hunter Biden. If that was a Romney kid and Mitt Romney were the president, you think they wouldn't be slobbering all over this like a dog after a bone? Of course they would. And just because Mitt Romney would be pursuing the presidency doesn't mean that if something corrupt was happening, that we shouldn't be looking into it simply because there's somebody who's running for election. I mean, good grief. Look at what the Hillary campaign was willing to do with the Steele dossier and Fusion GPS, funding research to try to dig up dirt on Donald Trump to try to keep him from becoming the president of the United States. This is so do as I say, not as I do, which is why it's maddening for so many people who are watching this. The question is that handful of people, all three of you out there, if you're listening, who haven't made up their mind on Donald Trump as a president or the impeachment as a process yet, I don't know who you are, but what is this endeavor doing to persuade anybody? In my opinion, it becomes a joke to listen to Adam Schiff grandstand on an issue that if I went and talked to 100 people outside right now and said, what did the president do that deserves to be impeached? They'd say he's a bad guy. They'd say that he's disrespectful, that he makes fun of people, that he's racist, that he's a bigot. None of those things are impeachable or evidential. There's no presentation that has been put together that qualifies as a high crime and misdemeanor. Even if they were true, it's not there. That's not why we're here. Which brings us back to Jay Sekulow.
What are we dealing with here? Why are we here? Are we here because of a phone call? Or are we here before this great body because since the president was sworn into office, there was a desire to see him removed?
Why are we here? And I think America knows collectively the answer to that question. What are people saying?
All over the map, of course, and based on the poll going into today, evenly split. By the way, that poll, 49% of those surveyed think that the president should be removed from office, 48% said otherwise. Mm. So I think that's really close to where we're going to be sitting in about 3 or 4 weeks. But just based on today, we have the Dersh, Alan Dershowitz, saying
Dersh, who dissed us on Monday.
Yeah. I heard that.
Gosh. I was telling my family, Alan Dershowitz was scheduled on our show on Monday, this past Monday. Was that yesterday?
That was yesterday.
24 hours.
Long week.
I was already telling him, Alan Dershowitz is named to the president's defense team on Friday. I said, if he has time for the Annie Fry show on Monday, I question their decision to include him in the defense of the president of the United States.
That's a good point.
Yeah, the person that I've been talking to try to get Alan on with us is like, yeah, the White House really isn't letting him go on shows right now.
Why?
I'm like,
but he was willing.
You can trust us.
It's not our guy.
About?
It's not Alan. He wanted to. It's the White House.
Alan.
But anyway, he says, of course, predictably, that this is not what the Constitution, the founders had in mind when it came to impeachment. Chris Wallace weighing in and saying, you know, he's bipartisan for the most part. And he's
actually only ever partisan. It just depends on who he's speaking to. He's the other thing.
That's mm-hmm. that's very true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. He's combative. He says that after Republicans argued the House impeachment inquiry was unfair, it's Senate Democrats' turn to complain that the trial in the Senate is unfair. And then John Brennan. This one just shocks me. It's okay if you're a private citizen to have an opinion. But when you are the former head of the CIA, do you know how much power the CIA has to do a whole lot of stuff behind the scenes and then classify everything so that nobody can find out about it?
Yeah.
This guy was in charge of the CIA. We already know where he's coming from because he's been out there saying this kind of stuff. But here's what he said. During more than 33 years in public service, I never heard a government lawyer so misrepresent the facts and deceive the American public as White House counsel Pat Cipollone just did.
314-241-9797. I'm going to get to some phone calls here. Join us. Tell us what you think about what is taking place. I'd love to know if you're calling the show, chances are you're an engaged person.
Yes.
And you were paying attention, and as our boss keeps calling Katie and me, dorks.
We are dorks.
And he reminds us, and we're like, we know. We get it.
He said it already today.
We're here for it.
And then me and Steve high five. We're like, yeah.
Yeah, dorks.
They are dorks.
And yes, you guys exactly. go, your stinky noodles.
Yes, for sure. It's a little inside joke. But if I would like to talk
picturing
to you
Lady and, the Tramp for
and
some
hearing
reason.
What you think or what the people in your circle are thinking. If you're talking to people at work who maybe aren't as dorky about it as maybe you and me happen to be, what are people saying? Are people sick of it? Are people listening to it? Is anybody's mind out there yet to be made up? 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Let's get to Eric's phone call here. Eric, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, I appreciate you taking a call.
You bet.
Hey, Shiftless, when he was going through his dissertation this afternoon, in one sentence said that Bolton was a refusal to cooperate, and two sentences later said that he was one of the volunteers that was happy to come in. I'm confused. Which is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Secondly,
I'll answer the question, Eric. It's whatever is advantageous at that time. And the House went through this process and wanted to rush things so quickly that they couldn't take time to have a House minority hearing day. It was requested multiple times by the representatives on the Republican side of the aisle in the minority. We want to have a House minority day. Please let us have a House minority day on line C, section B32 or whatever it is.
Right.
We are required to be able to have a House minority hearing. There was no time for it. It was over and done with. They passed it to send it to the floor in the middle of the night, practically. So they could have waited. They could have gotten whatever they needed and build their case, but they wanted to get it done in the House, and I think they wanted to do it before Christmas.
Right. Additionally, supposedly, you there?
Mm-hmm. Yep, go ahead.
Supposedly what Trump did, he was a prospective candidate. He wasn't even the nominee at the time, and they said repeatedly today he was trying to affect the 2020 election. Is he omniscient? Did he know he was going to get elected at the time so that he could do something to affect this election coming up 4 years later?
Yeah, well, I think that's mostly based on the call. Was it July of 2017 when the Ukraine or 2018 where the call took place with President Zelensky? The transcript. Read the transcript. I think that's
also it's one of the many shifting gears of this supposed Russian collusion to. Quid pro quo to, yeah, I got it. All right.
Yeah. Well, Kent or Eric, thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. If the question at the epicenter of this whole episode is, was the president trying to steal the election from the American people in 2020? Is there anything else around that? I mean, he was trying, the whole point of this is that they were trying to persuade Ukraine to do something or say something that was nefarious or show something that was nefarious against Hunter Biden, to wrap Joe Biden up into the web to make sure that Donald Trump would win in November of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the landscape of candidates right now, does Donald Trump need to be engaged in this type of behavior in order to beat Joe Biden in November of 2020?
No.
And how do we know that he wasn't actually just looking into corruption?
Yeah.
Wouldn't we want a president to do that?
I do. That's what, you know, drain the swamp.
Yes.
What's
it's
more swampy
slogan.
than the previous administration, which I will remind you included one Vice President Joe Biden? What's more swampy than finding out that somebody who's completely unqualified to sit on a whole bunch of different kinds of boards for things he had no knowledge or expertise of and getting paid, was it $50,000 a month?
Mm-hmm.
In this particular one, but there are lots of suggestions that are out there that this exists in other countries and other capacities, including China. So the previous administration is hooking up their family members with lucrative deals that involve or somehow position very close to the proximity of very high level elected officials. Hillary Clinton and the Clinton, what is it? The Clinton Initiative.
Foundation,
yeah. When you look at the pattern between public speaking events that Bill Clinton was doing when Hillary Clinton was in the State Department and deals that were being done with Hillary Clinton at the State Department that don't even make sense, like selling uranium to Russia, American uranium to Russia, and then finding out that down the road, depending on the country and depending on the story, that Bill Clinton's going and doing speaking engagements at these countries for $500,000. What did he say for $500,000?
What was worthwhile?
Holy smokes. What do you get out of $500,000 speech? Must be pretty compelling.
Better be a car underneath my seat.
No joke. No joke. Let's go to Chris. Chris, thanks for calling the show.
Hi. First off, you changed my train of thought here. But
no, sorry. Go ahead.
If we're all so naive to think that there's people that haven't tried to change elections in our history, I think it's pretty
naive.
Crazy to think that it's pretty naive. But here's my thought. What is this costing the American taxpayer? If we sue somebody and take somebody to court, you lose. Don't you have to pay for those attorneys' fees?
Not in Congress,
I personally think, I think that the Democratic Party should have to pay for all this, because that's all this is a witch hunt. This should not be on all of our taxpayers' backs to be able to pay for this sham. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It is a complete joke. I will vote for Donald Trump in 2020, and I hope everybody else out there does too.
Chris, great call. So, thank you very much. Just think of how expensive it's going to be if they do get rid of Trump and a Democrat wins the election, and then we're, you know, socialism.
Yeah, that'll cost a lot.
That's going to cost a lot of money.
Here's the problem with investigating the Bidens. You could make the flip case and say, well, if you just want your president to investigate corruption, then why wouldn't you have wanted Obama to investigate Trump if he saw that maybe there was Russian collusion? The answer to that is A, they did investigate that for 2 years. B, he was exonerated of those things. So, okay, take that argument off the table and say, let's apply those same conditions to Hunter Biden and to the Bidens. Which, by the way, the New York Post has an article out right now talking about five different Bidens who have financially benefited from just having the last name Biden. So it's not just Hunter, apparently. But why wouldn't you, regardless of party, want to weed out corruption? Annie, you mentioned before, well, the previous administration was different than this one. That's also true in Ukraine. The previous administration was different in Ukraine. So the new one allowed this investigation to start, because if it was still the same old corrupt administration, Trump wouldn't have dealt with them. They knew this guy Zelensky was a reformer just like Trump. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, maybe this guy will get something done finally.
Just like Trump.
Yes.
Like, this dude saw the United States doing this Trump MAGA thing and was like, hey, I could be like that. And he was a reality star and a millionaire. And he's like, I think I want to be president of Ukraine. Make Ukraine great again. Yay! So he gets elected. And I remember Jim Jordan in the impeachment hearing process making this case. And I remember I was on the treadmill when it happened because I like put my hands up in the air and I almost fell off the treadmill when I did it. But it was so I was so happy to hear Jim Jordan making this very important and concise point. And thank you, Ryan, for bringing it up again, because the understanding that is required to know that Donald Trump and his administration was looking into corruption. They took the ball. They took the handoff from the Obama administration. In corruption in Ukraine, the previous regime was extremely corrupt. And if you read the transcript, you can tell that there is a congratulatory tone from Trump to Zelensky, but you could also tell that there is a like, hey, we got to clean this act up here a little bit, and I hope we're on the same page regarding that. There is no pressure. And Zelensky has said, even at the UN when they were just happened to be sitting together at the UN that one day when they were like, hey, we're going to impeach the president. There's no pressure. There was no kind of pressure whatsoever. And there is no instance of Ukraine acting in a sense that made them feel like they were cornered. And what Jim Jordan said is that Donald Trump needed to make sure that Zelensky was the real deal. Donald Trump needed to ensure that before we start sending them American tax dollars, let's not pretend that all of a sudden with Ukraine, Donald Trump started getting stingy with his foreign aid. It's like maybe item number two after build the wall.
Yeah.
Keeping American tax dollars from hemorrhaging outside of our shores into other foreign countries that don't do their fair share, China, Germany, everything, the UN, NAFTA, everything that he's been involved in has positioned him in a place where he says, this is what America has to offer, and this is what you're going to do to continue getting it. And if Ukraine has been corrupt and the Obama administration was investigating it from the beginning, why in the world would it not make sense for Donald Trump to know what kind of funny business was going on in Ukraine and to say, new administration there, this is how it's going to be. And when you have the 4 points that the Trump defense team wants everybody to understand is to read the transcript, you'll see there's no quid pro quo. The second is that there was no pressure. Both Donald Trump and Zelensky, President Zelensky in Ukraine, have said there was no pressure here. There was no, you're going to do this or else. Ukraine didn't know that there was aid that was being withheld while Donald Trump allegedly was looking into whether or not the corruption was going to continue under the Zelensky regime or if it was going to change, as Zelensky had implied. And the final thing is that Ukraine didn't ever do what the Democrats alleged Trump was making Ukraine do. It never happened. And guess what? They still got the aid. This is a victimless crime. The only victim here is the Democrats, who are going to lose big in November again. And they're flailing. They're grasping at straws. And here we are, watching the Senate impeach him, or to look at the impeachment that the House Dems have done, and they're going to discuss it, and they're going to be things that are said that you've heard a million times, and then it's going to be over, and then we're going to go into election mode. And heck, maybe they'll impeach him again. Maybe we'll be back here. Much in my opinion, to the Democrats' dismay. Let's take a quick break. I've got some phone calls I can get to, and we're going to take this up to the 3 o'clock hour and hand it over to the Glover Show, see what they have to say about all of this craziness. Thanks for being with us on 97.1 FM Talk as we have special coverage of today's Senate impeachment trial. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
So, the eyes are on the Senate. The country is watching to see if we can rise to the occasion.
Mitch McConnell. There.
Speaking of rising to the occasion, that was riveting.
Thought there was going to be a little more of that. Well, there's like 3 extra seconds on then. A lot of these.
For a breath.
Here's the funny thing about when you're covering something like this live: if somebody takes a drink and a pause, and you're listening to somebody who has walked away from the microphone to take a drink, it puts you in a panic tailspin. Yeah. And by you, I mostly mean Katie.
Hey, yeah. Time to freak out.
Yeah. Which is why you got to watch the Facebook Live here at facebook.com/AndyFryShow. I want to remind you to download the radio.com app and stream us anywhere you go. You can go look for 97.1 FM Talk on the radio.com app on your phone. And you can also go find, just type in the Andy Fry Show when you load it up, and you can favorite our show and subscribe and stuff. 314-241-9797, getting some of your reaction here as we wrap up our special coverage here on 97.1 FM Talk of the Senate impeachment trial. Let's get to Kim. Kim, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick point. The House Dems had the chance to go to court, like, Jay Esko or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Well, this is like the prosecutor and the defense attorney making closing arguments and to send it to the jury. And then the prosecutor walks in and says, oh, wait, I found some more evidence. So,
but wait, there's more.
I think they should vote. No more evidence, nothing. Let's do it on what you sent over. If it's your fault, if you didn't get it done because you had the chance to go back and do it.
Kim, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And I'll add to this. You can't go to the Senate and say, it needs to be fair, when you had a sham process in the House. If they would have had a fair process in the House, like the Clinton impeachment, everyone wants to agree on the Clinton impeachment rules and have everyone cites that as how this is how we did it with the Clinton impeachment. I will remind you that the Clinton impeachment came from the House to the Senate with a bipartisan vote. It was agreed upon by both parties. This has been handed over to the Senate, which happens to have a Republican majority, manufactured and arranged just perfectly by the Democrats, who shut the Republicans out at every single turn, every single corner. And this is what you have to show for it. So you get to do your thing in the House because you make the rules, and then you get to whine about the rules. It's like everybody's spoiled brat neighbor who you just can't stand when they come around.
Yeah.
Isn't that
Adam? He's full of shift.
Full of shift. Shifty shift. What's on your phone? What's so important?
Oh, I'll tell you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it's fun.
That's one heck of a tease.
Darn right.
You have to listen
until
they come back.
Tomorrow.
Facebook.com/AndyFryShow. Please go give us a like there and stick around. The Dave Glover Show is going to give you their reaction and I'm sure some laughs along the way. Dave Glover, coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.